Dear siblings in Christ, grace and peace are yours from our God who has come to us and is yet coming among us. Amen. I don't know about you, but most days in my head, the calendar is somewhere around March or April. And yet somehow mysteriously here we are at the end of November. Liturgically speaking, we have gone through Lent and Easter and Pentecost since March and April, and now here we are in the first Sunday in Advent, the season of waiting, the season of waiting for salvation and redemption, waiting for God to show up and to be born among us. What an idea, right? That the waiting has just now begun? It seems like we have been waiting since March, like Advent has been going for 8 months solid. In a typical liturgical year, the season of Advent is only 4 weeks, not 8 months. Many a church nerd has claimed Advent as their favorite season and often has lamented that it is too short at just 4 weeks. I have been among those church nerds. I have loved the stillness of waiting in Advent. I've loved the subtle songs and silence as an antidote to the sensory overload of the commercial Christmas culture. I myself have preached the poetic nature of waiting for the Christ child, while stores bustle with Christmas songs and sparkles, while the hustle and bustle of the holiday season rages on in the outside world. I've been among the liturgical nerds to drone on about the importance of waiting, about the beauty of stillness in worship and liturgy in contrast to the busyness of commercialism and Christmas culture. But not this year. Ask me and I'd say enough of subtlety and stillness. Nope, this year I say bring out the Christmas trees. My neighbors across the street put up their Christmas lights a week or so ago and I say God bless them. About a week ago, one of my fellow liturgy nerds who lives in Denver posted a picture of her house, and it was blatantly the only house in sight with Christmas lights blaring everywhere. Someone, presumably another liturgy nerd, commented on her picture and said, "It's not even Advent yet." And my friend replied, "Shush." Waiting has gotten old. Stillness has lost its luster. Just on Tuesday, John and I made the difficult decision to cancel our Thanksgiving plans with my parents, who live only a mile from us. It was going to be the first time we were together in weeks. We were planning to soak up some time together, catch them up on our daughter's latest developments. But instead, we chose to wait. We chose to wait in the hopes that waiting will mean we can spend more Thanksgivings and Christmases and birthdays together. The waiting still didn't feel good. Felt like one more slap in the face after a year of constant losses. Waiting has gotten old. And now here we are, the first Sunday in Advent, this season of waiting, and we are merely at the start of it. So some kind of Advent, huh? One for the books. And indeed it is some kind of Advent, because maybe for the first time ever, for most of us, we might understand the cosmic urgency of Advent. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, the prophet Isaiah says in our first reading today. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. In other words, Isaiah is saying, enough with the subtlety, God. Show up. Show up in drama and fanfare because we need it. We need you now. The assigned lectionary text, lectionary being the three-year schedule of scripture readings, the assigned lectionary text for the season of Advent are actually always a bit doomsday. In a typical year in the past, to me it has often seemed a bit awkward to have these texts of lament and longing just 4 weeks before Christmas. Well-dressed folks walk in the doors of the church, dust off their shiny boots, hang up their coats, and then bam, we smack them with some readings about the apocalypse. I mean, so much for a holly jolly Christmas, right? When you walk in the doors during Advent. Well, it turns out there's a historical reason for the doomsday Advent text. The origins of the Advent season lie in two forms of waiting. First, waiting for the birth of the Christ child, and waiting for the second coming of Christ. So there's your nerdy liturgical trivia for the day, no extra charge. Usually, I argue in the past, I've argued that this apocalyptic doomsday Advent stuff is lost on the masses during December. And I've even been known to make the argument that we might as well just call it a thing what it is, that Advent, culturally speaking, should essentially be 4 weeks of Christmas. I've said it myself, let's just embrace the Christmas culture in church and take the chance to dwell a little longer in the story of Christmas. But this year, these doomsday texts of Advent, doomsday texts, don't seem quite so jarring to me. Instead, they seem honest. Theologian Debbie Thomas writes, quote, "The first gift of Advent is the permission to tell the truth, even if that truth is laced with sorrow," end quote. Some years it seems that we want to jump past the sorrowful texts of Advent out of maybe a sense of denial. Maybe this year, however, we can receive the gifts of these texts because they dare to call a thing what it is. They are cosmic cries for God to show up in a world that is falling apart as the world was when these texts were first written. They are cries from a world where people are screaming in lament and longing, where people shout, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. Oh, that you would make a dramatic entrance, oh God. Oh, that you would come closer. Oh, that you would come so close that we would never again be separated from you and from the whole communion of saints. Oh, that you would smash through the 6-foot radius around each of us and never leave us alone. Oh, that you would embrace us and connect us and give us laughter and love once again. Oh, that you would give us music and merriment and spontaneity. Oh, that you would help us dream again." A week or so ago, my friend Amy posted this prompt on Facebook. She wrote, "Just dreaming? What would you like to do when it's safe to travel again or to be with other people? I," Amy said, "I'd like to fly to Montana or have my where her parents live or have my parents fly to Minnesota and actually hug them and not have to be 6 feet away. I'd like to travel to Iceland and sit in hot springs. I'd like to eat dinner on a rooftop," she said. Among the many responses to her prompt, what struck me was the extremes. They were exotic, like international travel to Iceland, but they were also so small and simple, like hugs, or just going to a movie or a coffee shop, and hugs, lots and lots of hugs. It's almost as though my friend Amy knew about our Advent theme, those who dream. I'm so grateful to Deacon Susan for finding this liturgy for us, and we pray that this liturgy, that in this liturgy, you might start to dream again, and we might together begin to dream again. As the theologian Debbie Thomas, I mentioned before, says that the first gift of Advent is the permission to tell the truth, even if that truth is laced with sorrow, She says the second discipline or gift is the discipline of waiting. And then finally, she says a third gift of Advent is this, quote, "Advent prepares us for the God who is coming, a God who will turn out to be very different from the one we expect and maybe even hope to find," end quote. So this Advent, perhaps the God who is coming is not the one who will tear open the heavens and come down in a literal cosmic sense, even though, truth be told, I would take that if we could take orders, place orders, and while we're at it, why not have God tear open the heavens and come down in the form of a vaccine that is distributed immediately and globally? Advent prepares us for the God who is coming. And the God who is coming is the God who takes on flesh, the God who comes as a baby, which this year, maybe because of my own unique perspective on the baby image, this year the baby image strikes me not so much in terms of the vulnerability of a baby as much it does in terms of the intimacy of a baby. It's an image of an intimate God, and an intimate God sounds pretty nice right about now, because a baby begs to be held. A baby cannot tolerate physical distance. A baby necessitates closeness and connection. A baby brings wonder and laughter and dreams. A baby begs for singing and smiling. A baby forces presence and attention. A baby changes everything. A baby dreams and forces and allows and encourages you to dream also. Big dreams and small dreams. This is a God, an intimate God, who comes as a baby. This is the God who is coming. This God who allows us to dream sounds mighty nice right now. In this season of Advent, God prepares us for the God who is coming, a God for whom we need not wait, because this God has already come. Spoiler alert, Christmas has already happened. The baby has come. So put out the lights, sing the songs, wear the sweaters, and dream the dreams. The baby has come, and the baby is coming again. A blessed Advent to you. Thanks be to God. Amen.